Hey, it's Dean Blundell. I'm here with my very good friend at Greg Carrasco on Twitter. Greg, you've moved.
I have.
Where?
Thornhill Hyundai.
Where is that?
Young and Steeles. You know, we're Young right in the middle of Steeles.
Like where exactly?
7200 Young Street.
That's even better. ThornhillHyundai.com.
Yes.
And you are still the same guy that doesn't lie to anybody. Is that correct?
Some things never change, and we've taken the show on the road.
Go and see him. He doesn't lie to you. Buy a car from him. You won't regret it.
At ThornhillHyundai.com.
You're listening to Dean Blundell and Company on Toronto's Sports Radio, Sportsnet 590, The Fan.
Friday. Happy Friday. Happy weekend. Congratulations, you made it. It's the 27th day of May, and a busy, busy weekend here in the city. Your Raptors host the Cleveland Cavaliers for Game 6 of the Eastern Conference Final, Do or Die. And as I've said a couple of times this morning, we all know how they do when they're up against it, and they are. This is an elimination game. Something's got to give. No team has won it on the road. Every team has won at home. Of the six games, you can qualify for sure three of them as blowouts, maybe four by both teams. And one that wasn't that close was at the end, came down the last minute and a half. But, I mean, this is it. I mean, you're going to have to see Kyle Lowry and DeMar DeRozan do what they do and do their business. You're going to have to see Bismack play Bismacky at home, not away Bismack with four rebounds. He needs to get on it tonight. Jonas Valanciunas will be healthy enough to play again, or so we hear. So we'll see what happens, but it is game six tonight. And we'll get to Leo Routens, analyst for the NBA and the Toronto Raptors, coming up in just a couple of minutes. So hold on for that. Also, don't forget, and this is very, very important for all of you who are sitting at home wondering what's going to happen, because those Jays are up against it as well. And they got the Bo Sox in town. David Price is here this weekend as well. So it's a busy, busy weekend. Having said all that, let's have a quick update before we get to Leo. Here's George.
And Dean, it's brought to you by Kia of Richmond Hill. Raptors and Cavs play game six tonight down at the ACC of the Eastern Conference Final at 8:30. But the story from yesterday is still hanging around about Damari Carroll and Corey Joseph being spotted at a Cleveland casino at 2 a.m. before game five. Carroll says it wasn't really a big deal.
The guy tried to paint a picture that wasn't there. You know, I think even reading the story, he said something that we were walking with a group of guys. We actually was rocking with two policemen and two of the staff that escorted us back to our hotel because they didn't want fans running up to us and all those types of things.
Yeah, both Carroll and Joseph weren't really happy with a specific reporter who went with the story.
At shoot around, you know, he I think Steve, you know, he could have asked me for a quote, but I don't think he was there.
I hope he got a raise for that story because I think he was fishing a little bit.
Yeah, and Joseph says NBAers are not like regular people.
Our sleep schedule is different than a person that works 9 to 5. You know, for instance, you know, game four, we got at 8:30. Probably didn't get home till about 12:30. I didn't go to sleep till about 3, you know. I didn't do anything different in my routine daily before game five than I did in any other game.
Yeah, so you hear from them. Total joke. The report was a joke. The assumption it hurt the reputations was a joke. Story was a joke.
We'll talk to Leo Routens about that and preview game six tonight, 8:30 down at the ACC. Blue Jays picked up a 3-1 win in the Bronx and the series against the Yankees. Aaron Sanchez on the mound tonight, 7 o'clock right here. Sportsnet 590, The Fan, Sportsnet 1, and the Sportsnet app against those Red Sox. The Penguins have advanced to the Stanley Cup Final for the first time in 7 years. They beat the Lightning 2-1 in Game 7 of the Eastern Conference Final. Game 1 of the Cup Final, Sharks and Penguins goes down Monday in Pittsburgh. And at the French Open, Milos Raonic has advanced to the fourth round.
Wow. 8:05. Welcome to the program. Raptors analyst for Sportsnet, Mr. Leo Routens. Hi, yeah. Leo. How are you?
Good morning, guys. How's everybody?
Good. It is a great morning. We've got lots going on in the city. Of course, as we just mentioned, the Boston Red Sox are in town. Jays are 5-2 after that road trip. On that road trip in Minnie in New York, they take 2 out of 3 in the Bronx, so that's nice. And, of course, the big news here, it is do or die. This is the biggest game, and I know it probably feels like you've said this a million times, biggest game in franchise history, Raps-Cavs Game 6 tonight.
Yeah, I mean, I'm excited. I mean, what a great opportunity for the Raptors, for the fans to see a game like this. The people across Canada, I mean, you know, ratings are going through the roof. More people are watching than ever. Everybody's jumping on. Everybody's excited. So, hey, to have an opportunity to tie the series up at home against the number one seed in the Eastern Conference and LeBron James, I mean, it's fantastic. And the one thing you have is the Raptors. You guys touched on it already, the resiliency of this team that, you know, for whatever reason, and I've said, I think they're playing this. I think they're doing all this for ratings. I don't know what they're doing, but it just seems that whenever their backs up are against the wall, they seem to have their best performance. So let's hope we see that tonight.
Yeah, you don't often see a game where, you know, Kyle and DeMar both have 22 and 23, and they play a mediocre game, not an outstanding game like Game 4 where they go off for 67 collectively. You don't often see that. You see the big score, the guy, they're gangbusters and the best players on the floor for both teams, or they're absolutely awful. So, you know, is there a middle ground where this team can win, or do these guys have to be, again, the de facto best players on the court?
No, there can't be any middle ground. I mean, both of them have to play, you know, as we've seen them play, their best games and do it together. I mean, when they have a great game together, I mean, the Raptors have, you know, been virtually unstoppable. That's how good they've been. But you also need that, you know, you mentioned Bismack Biyombo. He's got to be the Biz that's getting every missed shot, every rebound, contesting shots, blocking shots, you name it. He's got to be doing that. And they need somebody else, whether it's Patterson, whether it's Ross, Corey Joseph. They need another score, and then who knows what happens with Valanciunas. I mean, he may get some spot duty. That's, you know, going to be completely up to Dwayne Casey to determine, you know, if there's a fit, depending on matchups and so forth. But, you know, one of the things I said in a game the other night, if the big fella's out there, and don't just make him run up and down the floor. If he's out there, throw it in and see if you can get buckets and foul trouble on the Cavaliers.
So let me ask you something. This is a story, and unfortunately it was the prevailing story before this game and happened prior to Game 5. Is a local newspaper writer went ahead and decided to publish a story questioning the reputation of Damari Carroll and Corey Joseph because they were out till about 1:45 in the morning at a casino with a security guard surrounding them, a couple of police officers that walked them back to the hotel as well. They weren't drinking. I wanted to ask you not just about the story, you know, but about, you know, what life is like in the NBA because of your schedule, because of the times you guys play, and Corey Joseph made mention of it, because of your sleep schedule. What did you make of the story and the subsequent fallout of it?
Well, it's ridiculous. And honestly, you know, NBA players live a nocturnal lifestyle. And this, you know, sometimes people that work 9 to 5 may not understand that or have a hard time understanding that. You know, for example, right after the Cleveland game, I flew on a team plane. We got back to Toronto. When I put my head on a pillow, it was after 3 a.m. And that's a normal NBA night. So your body's used to that. Your body is used to having, you know, late, late hours. And, you know, I always told my players, I don't care what you do. You do what you have to do to be ready to play. If you need to go to a casino for a couple hours and relax, I don't care. If you want to go out and have a beer, I don't care. You do whatever it takes. Nobody said they saw these guys stumbling out of the casino, you know, high on drugs, nothing like that. As a matter of fact, here's kind of an interesting point. I've been around this team for 21 years. This might be the best character group of guys I've ever seen collectively, top to bottom, of any team the Raptors have had in 21 years. And here's kind of the catch to this. There's a lot of writers that are around this team all the time, and a lot of these guys have been around for pretty much all the 21 years. And there have been some characters on this team. There have been some guys that you could write about. Nobody wrote about it. Nobody. I never heard about these guys. And now you're getting set to play your biggest game in franchise history, and two guys that the last thing you do is want to question their character are all of a sudden being called out. That's what gets my goat. I mean, you know, and the writers that are around this team, they understand this lifestyle better than anybody else. Hey, what are they doing? They're out every night having some beers after they're getting in their deadline columns. They're getting to bed at 1, 2 o'clock in the morning. They're living almost the same type of lifestyle. And so they know. They know it's not a big deal. And if you know that, then you have to put everything you say into context. And that wasn't done here.
So let me ask you then, the person who wrote the story, and I don't want to get into naming names and all that stuff. I think people can kind of draw their own conclusions. But that person, you know, being around the team, because this is how I'd feel if I was a player, and you're around this team a lot, and you've played in the NBA, you were a professional athlete, you've been around reporters your whole life. Someone goes and starts questioning your reputation after being allowed into that fraternity, being allowed into your dressing room, being allowed into your lifestyle, and seeing them at their best and their worst. You know, as a player, do you think DeMar DeRozan and maybe even the Toronto Raptors in general after that story, specifically being in an Eastern Conference final, and it is a game six, and it is after a devastating loss, do you not then start to question whether or not maybe this guy should be allowed in, and maybe even reporters being allowed into that kind of inner circle a little bit? And do you feel betrayed a little bit?
Yeah, well, absolutely. That's what happens. So what happens now is all media kind of get clumped into this category. So, you know, even the guys that don't do anything, all of a sudden, you know, you get looked at a little differently because there's a lack of trust. And like I said, it's, hey, you know, do basketball players go and athletes go around talking about all the media that they see out in bars every night? You know, I'm not talking about any one individual. I'm just saying just a general statement. I mean, is a writer a professional? He may not be a professional athlete, but he's a professional. So if you're in a bar till 3 o'clock in the morning and you're drinking, these guys weren't drinking, and you have to write a column the next day, is that affecting your work? I mean, think about it. I mean, there's so many ludicrous, you know, things you can keep going on and on about this, and it does. It affects the trust of the players. I mean, if there's a story, write it. If there's not, it's like Kyle Lowry running to the bathroom. Do you know what's funny? Mm-hmm. The last game, I watched Kyle Lowry take off to the bathroom and come back, or take off to the locker room. I don't know what he did. Do you know what? Nobody said a word. Nobody. Mm-hmm. It was a scandalous issue a few games ago. The other night he runs to the bathroom and back, and nobody says a word. So what made it so important the other night? Because the time of the game, the score, who cares? If the coach himself says, I didn't even know if he was gone, shouldn't that end the conversation? I mean, you know, I understand 24-hour sports. I understand, you know, having to find something to write, something to talk about, but you know, if you can't talk about the game, if there's not enough there, then, you know, do something else.
Maybe, yeah, if you can't find something to talk about when it comes to the actual gameplay, who won, who lost, what's at stake here, maybe you should find a different thing to write about altogether, and that includes sports in general. Do you find that kind of journalism irresponsible?
Yeah, and we're seeing it more and more, and the reason we're seeing it more and more is because it's 24 hours. You got to fill, right? You know, and
the team's relevant too, Leo.
Yeah, and you know, there's you look at a lot of guys, and again, this is a general statement. You look at a lot of guys in media. What they'll do is they'll throw something against the wall, right? Just throw it out there. If it sticks, you're hey, look at that. Remember, I told you that. If it doesn't, people forget about it. No big deal. Nobody cares. You know, it's like, okay, what was DeMar DeRozan? He's leaving L.A. He's gone. He's done. Well, you know what? You make that statement. It causes a buzz. He's got to answer a million questions. Fans are going, oh, this is crazy. Right in the middle of playoffs. And guess what? If he stays with Toronto, nobody cares. It was a statement just made. Yeah. If he goes to L.A., then whoever says it can say, see, I told you that. Man, I knew this was happening. I told you this back in April. That's what we're seeing more and more and more. Because you got to have the scoop. You got to have the story. And that kind of gets my goat, and it gets the players' goat. And again, it comes down to losing trust. And I think there should be a trust on both sides.
Leo, how do you skate the line of being critical of the team when warranted or worried about maybe potentially stepping on a toe or two with the Raptors?
You know what? I've been doing this for 21 years. And if you watch a lot of obviously, we're a Canadian. You know, if you're broadcasting a Canadian team in Canada, there's going to be a slight bias. It has to be. I mean, you know, everybody talks about U.S. not giving Canada any credit. Well, we're going to talk about the Canadian team, right? And if you listen to a lot of the broadcasts, hey, if Cleveland's kicking Toronto's rear end, you're going to be talking more about Cleveland. It's natural. If LeBron's having a 40-point game, he's going to be the focal point of your conversation. If the Raptors are playing well, then they're going to take the lion's share of the conversation. That's nature of the what you're doing. But if you listen to a lot of broadcasts around the NBA, when it's home, it's really home. What we've been able to do, and I can tell you this, in 21 years, I've had one conversation with somebody about something I said, They asked me what I said. I said what I said. They said, okay. And nobody's ever said, hey, don't say this or don't say that. And I think what you do is you understand the role. You understand there's a way to say things. There's a way to be critical. Like, I don't believe in burying coaches. People want to bury coaches. You know, I put a lot more onus on the players than the coaches because, like I said, as soon as the Raptors struggle, they say, fire Casey. Well, if you've got all-stars on the floor and all-stars aren't making shots, why am I going to talk about firing the coach? How about all-stars making shots? So, you know, I think you try to do your job best you can, and we've never had an issue of people telling us what not to say.
Well, and I think you take it from the professional to the personal, which that article definitely insinuated, and that personal being the reason why the Raptors lost, that's crossing the line.
Yeah, absolutely, because, I mean, that had absolutely nothing to do with it. If you talk to every single guy, you know, DeMar DeRozan's up to 4:30 in the morning. Like I said, I'm up late, and I may be doing nothing more than sitting in my room watching TV. Or, you know, my son is playing in Turkey. He calls me at 5 a.m. Turkish time because that and talking to me about nothing. I mean, that's the lifestyle that athletes live. It's, like I said, it's a very nocturnal lifestyle. You know, when Isaiah Thomas was the general manager of the Raptors, he wanted to eliminate morning shoot-arounds. He thought they were the stupidest thing because players they don't go to bed until 3, 4, or 5 o'clock in the morning. So why are you going to get them up in the morning to have a shoot-around when you could do all that later in the day after they get their sleep? And remember one thing, for athletes, the afternoon nap is the world's – I'm still on athlete afternoon nap mode. I can be up all night. All I need is – even if it's 20 minutes – and I don't sleep much anyway. I don't weird hours. I'm up late. I'm up early. But if I get a 20-minute nap in the afternoon, and these guys will take, you know, as athletes, they'll take, you know, longer, you know, several hour naps. They're gold. And a lot of players are in that kind of a routine. And, you know, if you're not in it and you don't understand it, you know, instead of commenting about it, you know, Corey made the point that no one came to him and talked to him. That morning, you know, if you're worried about affecting your performance, well, why didn't anybody talk to him that morning? Hey, I saw you out last night. What, you know, and, you know, is the group of people, was the group of people police, security, or was the group of people your posse? You know, mm-hmm. And think about it, that's what you're insinuating. When you say a group of people, posse is the big word, right? That's the word you use today. So, you know, that means a whole bunch of guys hanging around having a party. So if you're just saying, you know, a group, that's the first thing people are going to assume. Instead of saying security to make sure there's no problem.
Appreciate you doing this, Leo. Have a wonderful weekend. Go Raps. We'll watch for you tonight. Have a great day. Leo Routens, Raptors analyst. Real talk.
Fired up there.
Hashtag real talk. It is 8:18. This hour is brought to you by Jack Link's Hangry Moments. Don't be hangry. Reach for a bag of Jack Link's beef jerky. Feed your wild side. We have an abbreviated edition, but one of my favorites. Please welcome to the program, insider for MLB Network and Fox Sports, John Morosi. Yeah. Everybody, Morosi.
I was up late watching hockey last night. Is that okay?
You do whatever you want. I love you. How are you, sir?
I'm doing great. That was quite a game seven, wasn't it?
Yeah, it was. It was tremendous, and a bunch of different great narratives, which we're going to get to with Elliot Friedman around 8:32 this morning. And nice to see the Sharks in the first one. The Penguins are back. But the most important story, and I wanted to talk to you about this morning.
Sure.
The Devin Travis effect. Devin Travis has been back for two games. I know it's only two games. They've won both games, but he has figured into both of these games.
Is
it a cute story, or is it a sign of possible things to come?
Well, I think it certainly could be the latter, and here's why. You saw him have a good swing against Chapman, which obviously not a lot of players in the major leagues can do. And that was a great sign to me because that's obviously a quality at bat against an elite closer, and says that his bat speed and that his overall approach at the plate are in a very good place right now. And that's a phenomenal sign. And also, to the larger point, guys, he has an energy factor that really the Jays have lacked. They don't have a lot of guys that are able to be disruptive on the bases, okay? They don't have that element right now. They had it a little bit last year, certainly when Travis was healthy. They also had it with Ben Revere. They've missed that. Because I think that one problem they have is that when they don't hit home runs, they do nothing sometimes. It looks that way, right? They don't have that they're not like the Royals last year where there was a lot of contact, where the defense was sort of on their heels because they weren't sure what was happening. The pitchers can get through if they're having a good night. They get through Bautista and Donaldson and Edwin, and then say, okay, listen, I'm good. I just the rest of the lineup is very pitchable, and I'm not worried about guys stealing bases on me. So I think just having Travis's effect there in the lineup, he's a guy that the other team now has to be accounting for. And really right now there was not really a lot of that element in the team to this point. He obviously is a very exciting player when he's at his best. And is he explosive in the same way that he was last year? Maybe not quite 100% back, but again, you get a knock off of Chapman and you contribute to a couple wins. That's a very good sign for the Blue Jays.
John, what do the Blue Jays do now with this log jam in the infield? We anticipate Tulo will be back in the lineup tonight against the Red Sox. Now they have him, they have Devin Travis, they have Darwin Barney and Ryan Goins, and they only have 11 pitchers on the roster. So who's going down and what are they going to do?
Well, it's a great question, George. And to me, I'm concerned about Tulo from a standpoint of at what point in time, obviously, and I know a lot of people are listening and thinking about this, at what point in time are the Toronto fans going to see the player that they were promised? Because in talking about Darwin Barney, I realize it's been a sort of a smaller sample size, but he's had a good year. And Barney is another guy that is a good complementary player who you can hit and run with, defends very well. And so with Tulo, if he's not going to hit for power, why is he in the lineup? And again, I know that sounds almost crazy to think that you'd rather have Darwin Barney in your lineup than Tulo, but at some point in time, you've got to see the results. And the results for Tulo haven't been there. And when he is not hitting for power, he is not really contributing to your lineup in other ways. Barney can actually do some different things. He can handle the bat well, as they say in the game. So, I mean, that's something where I would look at Travis. As long as Travis is hitting, I think his defense is good. Is it as great as Goins? No. But I think Travis, again, he brings you something that you need. And I think on a certain level, Barney can do the same thing. And so Tulo's going to have to hit to play. I mean, I know that sounds...
But again, isn't it $20 million, though, John, that he has to play?
Are you going to put $22 million on the bench?
Hey, the Red Sox did it there in first place.
Yeah, but Tulo isn't 100 pounds overweight.
Well, the Red Sox sent Rusdy Castillo down to the minor leagues with a $72 million contract.
Yeah, good point.
I mean, at some point in time, guys, yeah, you've got to produce. And Tulo has not produced. And I'm not saying he should be benched indefinitely. I'm just saying that John Gibbons has to look at his lineup every day and say, who gives me the best chance to win? And if Tulo's batting what he's batting right now, and he's not really a dynamic player in other ways right now. He's a very good defender, but he's not really contributing, in my judgment, to your offense unless he's hitting for power, unless he's hitting home runs. And he's not really doing that right now. So, guys, it is a puzzling situation, but again, he's going to have to play better. Tulo has to play better to earn playing time, because at some point in time, you're now have at least gotten into third place. You've with a good couple of days, which was great. So now you're looking up at two teams, which psychologically I think is a good thing. This is a huge stretch, a crucial stretch. You're playing the first place team in the Red Sox. You've got to put your best nine out there. Certainly at his best, Tulo is on that list, no question about it. But if he is anything less than his usual self, than the guy that he should be and can be, you've got to think about other options, because he is a guy that right now, I think his inability to make contact, I think in key moments, has hurt the Jays this year.
One of the guys that his demeanor tells a story too is Josh Donaldson, MVP of a season previous. He was 0-for-3 yesterday. He had a walk. There was a strikeout, though, where he turned around and he looked like he wanted to take that bat and break it over his leg. And he has been walking back to the dugout slower. I know he's batting .242. His OPS is still pretty good. But the problem that I have is his demeanor. And I don't know what's going on with him. I don't know if you see the same thing. But, you know, he's not playing to the same MVP caliber, clearly, as he had last year.
That's a great observation, Dean, about the body language, because that I believe is something that really reveals a lot about players on the field. I think you can really see where they're at mentally in a particular time. But you can look at Donaldson, and you're right. He doesn't really look as comfortable on the field now as he did last year. Now, obviously, you can't expect the guy to win the MVP every year, and that season was sensational in so many different ways. But I think that there's got to be, for a guy as competitive as Donaldson, he's got to be frustrated with the way the season has gone, not just for himself but for the team overall. And also, you know, he's been hit by pitches a couple different times. He's kind of been in the middle of that. So I think that it's just been a harder season. I think when you have a year like you did last year, and then you come back, naturally it's going to be harder. But this one looks like it's a lot harder. And I also think that the dynamic of the team from the standpoint of the top of the lineup, the top three spots, I think he's probably seen different pitches now. And again, not having a pure leadoff guy on the team, I think has probably affected him too because of where he's hitting. So I just think he just doesn't seem like he's in sync right now. You're right. He's getting his power numbers okay. And it's not as though it's, you know, again, he's having a far better year than frankly than Tulo is and Russ. But I think he's not quite in sync right now. And I'll make the point here, guys. If they are able to get in sync, if things work out where they're able to click offensively a little bit, then this team has a chance to make a lot of noise. Because you look at the way they've pitched and the bullpen, I think much maligned by me and others earlier in the season. You know, that was they closed out a game in Yankee Stadium yesterday. Good sign, of course, it was with their eighth and ninth inning guys. And Floyd has done a competent job. He has done a solid job. Was it perfect from the very beginning? No, but he's done fine. And Happ yesterday was great again. And I know the front office has come under fire for different decisions, but the Happ thing is one move that's worked out magnificently well. I mean, he has been very good. The rotation has been top 10 in the major leagues. So again, we can sort of find different flaws in the roster. But my point is the rotation is a good foundation right now. If they just hit, and whoever thought we would say that about the Jays, if they just hit, they should be fine because the rotation's given them a chance to win much more often than it has.
John, as always, great to talk to you on a Friday. Have a wonderful weekend. We will chat with you soon. John Morosi for Major League Baseball Network and Fox Sports. Thanks for doing this. 8:28. Hold on. Elliot Friedman on the Stanley Cup Final. Pens, Sharks, it's set. It's next. Sportsnet 590, The Fan.
As an unlicensed doctor, we suggest a prescription for one of our shows. Sign up for our free podcast at iTunes or with your favorite podcatcher. Fake doctor's orders. Sportsnet 590, The Fan on demand. You're listening to Dean Blundell and Company on Toronto's Sports Radio. Sportsnet 590, The Fan.
A34, 22 degrees right now. It's going to be 24 this morning, and then this afternoon, hot, humid, very humid, unsettled weather this afternoon, 30 degrees with a chance of showers and thundershowers. Elliot Friedman standing by. We'll talk with Friege next about the Stanley Cup Final. It is set. Pittsburgh wins a game 7, 2-1. Thrilling end, too. They had to actually go back and replay part of it because deny an empty net goal. Because the puck was actually out of play and no one noticed it. Weird one. Anyway, Sidney Crosby and the Pittsburgh Penguins, including my man Phil Kessel, is back in it.
Conn Smythe Trophy, him and Pavelski. Right,
yeah, now. Against the Bearded Wonders. We'll get to that next. San Jose and Pittsburgh with Elliot Friedman coming up in just a minute. Right now, it is time for a quick update. Here's George.
Dean, this playoff update is brought to you by your Ontario Subaru dealers. All right, Raptors and Cavs play Game 6 tonight in the Eastern Conference Final down at the Air Canada Centre. Raptors, of course, down in this series 3-2. It tips off just after 8:30. Blue Jays picked up a series win in the Bronx against the Yankees yesterday, 3-1, behind a great start from Jay Happ. Aaron Sanchez on the mound tonight in the opener against the series with the Red Sox down at Rogers Centre. 7 o'clock, Sportsnet 590, The Fan, Sportsnet 1. And the Sportsnet app. And you just mentioned it, the Pittsburgh Penguins on their way to the Stanley Cup Final for the first time since 2009. They doubled up the Lightning 2-1 in Game 7 of the Eastern Conference Final. The Cup Final gets going Monday in Pittsburgh, Sharks and Penguins.
Thank you very much, sir. It is 8:36. Welcome to the program, NHL Insider on Sportsnet and Hockey Night in Canada. Friege at Elliot Friedman.
Yep.
Hey, man.
Good morning.
At Friedge HNIC is your Twitter handle. Is that still correct?
That is still correct. I don't want to lose the blue check mark, so I don't touch it.
Yeah, no point. Well, listen, obviously a lopsided game when it comes to shots. Vasilevsky by far the busier goaltender last night. Pittsburgh by far carrying most of the play, and deservedly so in the Stanley Cup final, would you not say?
I would agree with that. They earned it the hard way. What a year for them. Everybody, high expectations, looked like they were going to flunk the test, charged back, you know, thin blue line if you really think about it, and backup goalie. I mean, you take a look at what they're dressing on defense and in goal, and you would have never would have thought that they would be here. The one thing I really thought last night was that Crosby and Malkin were the two best players on the ice. Crosby in particular was brilliant, especially late in the game, you know, just keeping the puck in the Tampa zones. They couldn't come down the ice. It's an incredible, the Penguins are an incredible story this year, and I just worry for their coaches. Every year they're going to fire somebody in midseason so they can go to the Stanley Cup final.
Elliot, can you win with Phil Kessel?
Yes, I think we're learning the answer is
are you
yes.
serious?
Yeah. Well, you let go of that. No, ask him, because that was the narrative when he got traded, you know, right, Elliot?
Elliot, first of all, let me just say this. You do know that George has been banging on this. The Penguins are no closer to a Stanley Cup with Phil Kessel than they were without him, right?
Yes, I'm aware of George's biases in this particular issue.
His silly nuances, his terrible takes on the subject.
My spectacular beard.
It's not nuanced when you're hitting people over the head with a sledgehammer on it.
That's what true. I like to do, Elliot.
So when he asks
go
you,
hard or go home.
When he asks you, can the Penguins win with Phil Kessel? Why don't you just say, George, will you stop it? Instead of answering the question,
because that was the narrative, Dean, here in Toronto. I'm Elliot, not,
hey,
agree
is your
with
name?
That.
Is your name Elliot Friedman?
Okay, go ahead, Elliot. Just prove.
Yeah, let me answer the question.
Okay.
Why? Because I was up late and it's early and I just missed it. That's the key.
Just tell him to stop.
I know we're going to get this question once more after this series is over.
Yeah. Hey, after they win the cup, George will still ask if they can win the cup with Phil Kessel. But listen, these narratives between both of these teams being in the Stanley Cup final, I find are unbelievably great. You know, you've got Thornton, Marlowe, you know, long in the tooth. Hard at it for years, never could, never did. They're in the Stanley Cup final. Brent Burns, who has just emerged as maybe the best defenseman in the National Hockey League, and it's taken him a while to get there, but he's been terrific. Joel Ward is such a lovely story. He's a nicer individual and a better individual than he is a hockey player, and he's been terrific for that team. The coaching change there, what that's done for the team. And then you look at Sidney Crosby. You know, I remember when Wayne Gretzky was in the Stanley Cup final with the LA Kings, and they said it was the masked man, which was Patrick Waugh, and the king who wants his crown back. That was the headline. And you know, Sidney Crosby, very similar scenario. He wants this bad, and it might legitimize his career. So, you know, which storyline do you think is more interesting at this point?
Oof. Number one, I think it's a great potential series on paper. That, to me, is the biggest storyline. I look at the Sharks and I look at the Penguins, and I don't see anyone who backed in here. I see two teams who are playing at the best of their ability. So, you know, I look forward to a great series. To me, that's the number one storyline. After that, you know, it's probably, I would say, is 1-1A Thornton and Crosby. And you know, when Pittsburgh won the Stanley Cup in 2009, who would have ever envisioned that it would take them 7 years to get back? We thought they were going to be the Chicago Blackhawks, the team with three Stanley Cups. And, you know, we all forget he was robbed and we were robbed of seeing Sidney Crosby for almost 2 years in his prime. And watching him last night, it wasn't just the points. It was the way he owned the game. I think it just reminded me watching that game of what we all lost with his injuries, an ability to see this guy in the prime of his career do the things that he could do. You know, Thornton, for me, how many years did we say this guy can't win? We wrote them off as an organization and him as a player, especially last year when they missed the playoffs. And the other thing tonight, guys, is at 6 o'clock, we've got the show where they're announcing the World Cup, the rest of the World Cup rosters. When we started talking about this, Joe Thornton wasn't even on the radar. And he has played so incredibly well. I would be surprised tonight if he's not on Team Canada.
Elliot, speaking of Team Canada, does PK Subban make the team tonight?
You know, I got to tell you, I don't like the odds, George. They've got two right-hand shots already on that team in Doughty and Weber. And after watching Burns, Pietrangelo, and Letang in the playoffs, I think all three of those guys, simply because of the playoffs, are probably ahead of them on the depth chart. You know, I think he had a great year for a team that didn't play very well. But I think the playoff run puts those three guys ahead of him, and I think the odds are long.
Yeah, George is referring, obviously, to the World Cup of Hockey final rosters announced tonight at 6 p.m. on Sportsnet. What do you think is going to happen? Any sleepers, any obvious omissions that might take place?
Well, George mentioned, the Canadians fan on this broadcast mentioned...
Yeah, are you surprised George brought up PK Subban?
It's a big story, but it's a big story.
You know what, like Subban, he is, you know, anytime he's involved, it's always big news. And I hate to defend George, but on this one
Thank you, Ellie.
Have to, because Subban is the one, his name always carries the most news value. And his if he doesn't get named, it's going to be the biggest story. It's how come Subban isn't there? I mean, you remember in 2014 for the Olympic team, it was all about Subban leading into him because people love him. And I just think that I think that whether or not he gets it or not is going to be the biggest story on the team.
Tell us the Guy Boucher story. We were laughing about it this week because Fabro said, and George actually brought it up as well, that Guy Boucher was either in the building prior to the hiring of Mike Babcock or had possibly a contract in his hand until Babcock said yes. What? How far did that go down the road?
Oh, that story is 100% true. He was in the building.
At the ACC itself?
Like getting ready to sign a contract to coach the...
I can't remember if it was the ACC or the practice facility, but he was... They were ready to give him the job. He was going to be the coach of the Toronto Maple Leafs. That's 100% true. And then Babcock called him to them taking the job.
So did they just tell him to leave quietly? How did that...
You know, I don't know the down? Answer to that question.
Lee, do you think it went like this? Hey, bud, listen. I got some bad news. The guy we wanted to coach the team originally said yes, so unfortunately we're going to have to take that back.
Well, I think it's probably something like that. It was just such an unreal story. I remember when the news broke that Babcock was taking the job, somebody called me right away and said, "You're never going to believe what happened." And I said, "What? You told me that story." And I was like, "You're right. I don't believe it happened." As a matter of fact, I thought they were joking with me at the beginning. But, you know, it was tough because Boucher had waited so long for his chance, his second chance, and all of a sudden that happens. I mean, could you imagine being in that situation? That's why I'm kind of happy for him. He gets another opportunity in Ottawa because all you sit here, you think you're going to be the head coach of the Toronto Maple Leafs, and all of a sudden that happens. And, geez, that's – talk about a cruel trick. That's that's like some sort of practical joke, like you're inviting some guy to a party, and then you say to him, "Oh, just joking, you're not invited, but everybody else is."
Oh, man, it's the best. I didn't think it was true. Thanks for clarifying.
No, it's true.
Yeah,
it's true.
That's awesome. Have a great weekend, Elliot, and look forward to watching you guys do your business with the Stanley Cup Final. Thanks so much.
All right, guys, have a great weekend.
Take care. Elliot Friedman, at Friege, H-N-I-C.
Instead of a party, it's an intervention.
On Twitter, yeah. 845. Woo! Plays of the Week, and Jeff Blair and Stephen Brunt next. Sportsnet 590, The Fan.
Send us all your money. Sign up for our free podcast at iTunes or with your favorite podcatcher, and we'll send you a free subscription for Sportsnet 590, The Fan, on demand. Absolutely free. Dean Blundell and Company's Plays of the Week.
Pass in front of the goalie, score!
This is it!
Smells good in here. Normally it smells like old breakfast and sausage and stuff.
That's owed to George.
George who?
I'm going to Johnny Manziel Friday night.
We're going to Vegas and then lose our jobs.
I'm going to wake up in a pile of blow right beside me.
You're whack.
Told the story of how the National Basketball Association.
Come on, try getting it out.
Social Association didn't care about men's privates.
Well, Patrick Patterson off the bench because he plays better, which clearly it shows.
He's calling from a beehive.
Stop yelling.
It does sound like a hornet's nest.
Yes.
Are you a beekeeper, sir? I have a bit of a hot take.
Hot take music, Mon.
Is Mon here today?
Like, are you, like, what's...
Where is he? Mon!
LeBron, Michael Grange from Sportsnet.
Gregorius.
There were a lot of hard fouls out there, but that little skirmish.
Gregorius.
She had to remove a kidney. I'm the one that takes my mom everywhere. I'm the one that does everything.
Hang on a second. Fabro, not supposed to tell any of those stories. And
I am.
You blew it.
It's their number one rule.
Well, I'm just saying it. I didn't know that I know.
You blew it!
I was thinking about it when I was just in the washroom. And that's where I do some very serious thinking.
Two. And really, that was a move on business.
Whoa,
it
just cut her off. There you go.
Made out of fried chicken skin.
What is that?
The shell is that?
Yeah.
Oof. Oh, my God.
These oversized hamsters, cute, not scary. Pandas, boom, face is gone.
Life's bad enough. With a name like Athaporn.
What's his wife's name again?
Sawatry.
Can you get that monogrammed on a towel?
George, that's a great question.
Dean Blundell and Company's Plays of the Week.
All right, Monster.
Good
well
job,
done.
Man.
Game 6 predictions.
Drum roll, please.
Our callers or our Twitter voters say 67% of folks say Raptors are going to win. Do you agree, George?
I will say I'll take the Raptors plus 6. That's what I'm saying.
So the Cavs will win?
Probably by like 12. But I'm taking the Raptors plus 6 tonight.
Dean?
Whew.
I think you've gotten every game
wrong. You're doing
the
line. Yeah.
I'm taking the line. I'm taking the Raps plus 6. I think that's a good bet.
Dean, who is 0-for-5, I believe, calling games.
You don't know that. You haven't been keeping track.
No, we don't know because you're never consistent, so we don't know.
Sports chameleon Dean Blundell's pick is?
I say Cleveland.
Oh, big
reverse psychology move by Dean. Yes, I like it.
That's what I'm doing.
I like it.
You knew I'm doing that.
You're
for
just
you.
Mind-effing everybody right now.
I say Cleveland, but I don't say Cleveland, if you know what I mean.
Okay.
I'm picking Cleveland.
And you, Fabro? Mon, the drum roll. Why did it stop?
God.
It's a Friday. Can you at least, hit the finish line?
The season's over, but it's been a fun ride for the Raptors. I'm going with the Cavs.
Wow.
Wow.
Shocker, negative Fabro in Cavs tonight. Big surprise there.
Hey, speaking of which, the Jeff Blair is next. Have a wonderful day. Go Raps, game 6 tonight. That is at the Air Canada Center, 8 o'clock, and then, of course, the 8:30 tip-off. Come on, Raps. Get this done. Put it back to Cleveland. We'll see you later. Have a great weekend. Bye.